We've talked many times on this program about this guy, Trump. I know. I'm sorry, but it's important. He doesn't drink. Apparently, alcohol has never touched his lips. Female parts have, but not alcohol. And that's a problem for me, and I'll tell you why, because this is the way the guy acts when he's actually straight. I mean, you would figure that if he was punched drunk or out of his mind, he would throw out these weird tweets and have these weird views on things, and he would be like, have anger management problems, and you'd figure, well, that's the sign of a drunk. There's medication for that and classes you can go to. But apparently, for some reason, he doesn't drink at all. This is the way he actually is. And that's scarier than not. It is scary. Then I'm thinking, what if somebody on the White House staff offered him a hit of marijuana? And then Don, I call him Don affectionately, Don would actually mellow out and he'd be too lazy to tweet. The only thing that wouldn't change is that when you get high, you usually want to eat a lot of fast food and junk food. Well, he's already been doing that all of his life, so I guess that wouldn't change the food part. But it could mellow him out. It could. Don, do you still want to build the wall?
I don't know. I don't. I guess not. It seems like a lot of work. No.
Don, do you still want to build a gigantic hotel in Moscow? Make it the biggest hotel deal of your life? Do you still want to do that?
No, man. I'm tapped. I'm tapped, man. I just want to go to bed. I just want to go to bed and eat some more fast food, man.
Hey, that's a horrible impression of Trump. I know. I don't do Trump, so I'm not going to try to do the impression other people do. I think that would work. If someone is listening to this show who is in the White House, and I don't think you are, just give him a hit of marijuana and see what happens. I think it could work. It's unfortunate that you have to do that with a president, but it's the only way this guy's going to come down a notch. And Trump doesn't need to come down one notch. He needs to come down all the notches. I don't know how many notches there are. I know it's not just one. I know there's a lot of notches involved here. I said notches, not nachos. God.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be with you today. You're looking good today, man. Whoa, is that a new sweater? Really nice. I usually don't go out of my way to compliment people wearing sweaters, but that looks really good on you. Wow. And I say that because you usually don't look good at all. You usually look like a horrific piece of crap. But today, what happened? Normally, you're disgusting. You're like a vortex of feces. But today, wow. Could the sweater have changed your entire face? I don't think so. But you look good. It must be the reflection of your face off the sweater that makes you look so good today. That's something Trump would say. Trump's only concerned about your face and what you look like, especially if you're a woman. He'll put you down immediately. That's how he destroys his opponents. I think Trump saw Vladimir Putin naked on a horse. That famous picture of Putin, you know, I think Putin had pants on, but his top was off and he was sitting on a horse. And I think Don fell in love with that. Don thought that was like, whoa, I want to do that someday. I want to sit on a horse with no top on and have all the ladies go crazy and be a dictator. That's what I want. I heard that Trump's 2020 campaign, if he's not arrested by then, that his 2020 campaign slogan is not going to be Make America Great Again, because that didn't work. It's going to be Make Russia Great Again, and that would work, because that's the way Don acts. He does everything to make Russia great again. He maligns our own people, the very people that he even chooses to be his White House staff and his advisors. He maligns them like he didn't pick them. He did. He's a horrible picker. He's the worst picker in the world. If you ever, if this is all over someday, and I hope it is, and Don needs a job, don't ever hire him in human resources. The guy's horrible in picking people. He's terrible. He's awful. He's bad at everything that he said he was good at. I know people. No, you don't. You don't know people. The people you chose specifically were all involved in espionage and have all been arrested and indicted. Those are the people you pick. Very, very, very nice. There are also people that don't know what the hell they're doing. You're picking people for these national posts like head of Homeland Security and the EPA, Environmental Protection. You choose people that don't know what the hell they're doing. Their only background is working in a Hallmark greeting card store. They don't know what they're doing. What a horrible manager you are. And his reason is because he does everything by the gut, by a feeling in the gut. That's gas, Don. That's not intelligence. You're misreading it. That's gas. Take a pill. You can't run the country by indigestion. What if you have a bad Happy Meal someday? Are we going to war? I mean, you can't run this by your gut, Don. But that's what he claims. He also says continually that he's the smartest person in the world. And that he is the smartest president there has ever been. Perhaps next to Lincoln. Why did you even throw that in? You're probably smarter than Lincoln as well. I mean, Lincoln's only big mistake was he went to see a play. That was a mistake. Lincoln also didn't realize having a few security guards around you when you go out in public wouldn't be a bad idea, Abe. It's funny and ironic because they called Lincoln Honest Abe. Trump, the opposite. It's about time we started calling him names. I know you don't want to sink to his level, but there's about time someone did. And the perfect name for Don, Donald Trump, is Lion Don. Let that stick in his craw for the rest of his life. Lion Don. And I'm not talking about a mountain lion. I'm talking about an L-Y-I-N-G. A not tell the truth, make it up yourself. Try to convince people it's the truth, but it's not. Lion Don. Every candidate, every person referring to this man from this point on must refer to him by his own standards and call him Lion Don. And you know what? That's acceptable because you're not making fun of his appearance. And boy, you could line up around the block with bad appearance jokes about this man. But we don't do that. We don't talk about his tiny little hands and his brittle little prick. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about his orange-colored skin and the Oompa Loompa stuff. And we don't talk about his hair and how that's very odd. We don't talk about any of that stuff at all, about how long his tie is. The only reason his tie is so long is it covers his penis, apparently, I mean, assuming. The womanizer racist stuff. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but he certainly, like, puts it out there so that you think that he is. He's a horrible marketer. The only thing he's great at is being a snake oil salesman. And for those of you that aren't old enough, that means he's a lying guy that tries to pull the wool over your eyes, plays the shell game, makes you think something when it's really something else. He manipulates you like a yo-yo, shames you, makes you look stupid, makes you do things, makes you believe things that are only going to really hurt you in the long run because he's smarter than you are. In that sense, he is. He's a despicable human being. I think, and I don't think I'm too far off on this, I think that God, wherever God may be, spiritually or physically, is probably saying, oh no, what the hell happened here? This is what happens when I turn my back. I create something by mistake. Don's a horrible human being. He actually takes his own children. And children-in-law. And his son-in-law. And he actually puts them in the White House in influential positions. Jared Kushner, who is his daughter's husband, is a very close presidential advisor. Jared, who I think speaks, I'm not sure, Jared is trying to solve the Mideast peace crisis. I see, Jared, what background do you have to think that you have the strength, ability, and gut to solve the Mideast peace process problem? Are you serious, man? Are you serious? That's who you choose? And then you put your children in these influential paid White House positions, and now they're indictable. Now they can be indicted, Don. You've taken your children and you've put them into positions. I thought there were laws against nepotism in government. I thought that that was the case. I thought that when John F. Kennedy, our president, appointed Attorney General his brother, Robert Kennedy, both of whom were assassinated, by the way. I think you know that. That they came up with this nepotism thing where you can't really do that. What happened to that? Donald Trump gets into the White House and he brings all his family in there to have influential government positions. His daughter ran a clothing line. What's her position? To clothe America? I don't understand, Don. There's something wrong with you. And as I've said so many times before, the real clue to this being a debacle is that Donald Trump is one of the few presidents that I can remember in my mind or ever that didn't have a dog. Donald Trump has no pets. There are no pets in the White House. Not even a cat. Not even a mouse. Not even a cockroach. Nothing. This man has nothing. Why? Because he has no compassion for anything. If he had a dog, maybe he'd warm up to that little furry thing. But he doesn't. All he's got is his gut, which is growing larger every day. Remember that debacle with the White House doctor? The White House doctor examined Donald Trump. Forgot to do a mental health check. Apparently that wasn't on the list for some reason. Would have failed that one big time. Did a medical checkup on Donald Trump and said Donald Trump is in excellent shape. Excellent shape. He's overweight. He's overweight. He's technically obese by government standards. He has cholesterol problems. And then the doctor, the White House staff doctor, says, well, yeah, that's true. I'm just saying in general, he's in excellent health. Well, I mean, he's in good health. Good health? He's got some health to him. That's the thing with the White House. Never ask him just one question because that the answer to that question is wrong and is a lie. You need to keep pressing until you shave it down. And then all of a sudden you find out it's not what it is at all. I remember when the campaign was running, Trump, it's funny now, but it's really not. He was talking about the border wall way back. This has been his flag, so to speak, that has not come to fruition. He's talking about his border wall, and he showed a video was released of people just jumping the wall and running over the border. And he's showing this, and people are going, oh, my God, people are, like, jumping the wall like crazy, and there's rioting, and find out that the video was not of the wall in Mexico, or the fence in Mexico, I should say, or the border in Mexico. It was someplace in the Middle East. How big a mistake can that be by the Trump campaign? It's not a mistake. It was purposely released to make you think that that was a Mexican border when it wasn't the Mexican border at all. It wasn't even in this hemisphere. That's the kind of lie and the kind of deceit that went on even during the campaign. Ron, are you going to spend the entire show talking about this? Because this is getting really old. You know what's getting old? The president's getting old. Every day this guy remains in the White House, we're closer to ending our democracy and our standing in the world. And Russia is just standing there waiting to take it over. And they are. They're getting involved in Venezuela. They're already involved in Syria, Iran. These are all the places that Trump is going, oh, you know, it's not our place. Trump declares victory over ISIS. Shortly after that, ISIS kills Americans in the Middle East. Kills people in the Philippines just days ago. I'm glad we destroyed it, because ISIS apparently is destroyed, but at the same time, still pulling off terrorist activities. And as soon as you pull out, they will strengthen, and we're back to the Iraq deal. You come out of Iraq, and then terrorist groups take over, and they build. And one of those terrorist groups, not so named, is Russia. What is it about Russia that Don has hot lips about? I'll tell you what it is. Don wants to be a dictator. He said it in so many words. He wants to be a dictator. He's jealous of the fact that in China, the president of China can remain president through his entire life. Don even said congratulations on that. Don thinks that that would be wonderful for him. Don thinks Putin is a wonderful leader because his people and his government do what he say. Don, they do what he says because he's a dictator. I want to be one, says Don. I think that works great because in business, I'm Donald Trump and everybody does what I say. If not, I fire them. That's the way the country should be run. That's not democracy, Don. Okay. That's all. I'm sorry. I really shouldn't apologize for that, but I am sorry. It's awful.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
We have a great author coming up rather soon. It's a fascinating interview. I'm looking forward to it. And it's about these parents, mother, who raised a child that was not like other children, and the guilt and the, like, what did I do wrong kind of thing that she put upon herself and her
and her husband is credible. And it's a good story. It's a pretty good story. It's one of those things where you say to yourself, hey, I could be in that situation too. It's good to know that somebody else goes through stuff, doesn't it? You know, when you're feeling like a little depressed or things are going wrong, like, why is it always me? Why is it always me that feels this way? And then you talk to other people, and if they're honest enough, they say, well, I feel that way too sometimes. Oh, you do? Oh, then I guess I'm not that strange. It's like arthritis. What? You gotta explain that. It's like arthritis. You get a pain in your shoulder and you go, oh my God, my shoulder's going to fall off. I've got a pain in my shoulder. There's something wrong. I've got cancer in my shoulder or something. Oh my God, it's a pain. It's been going on for days. It happens when it gets really cold out. And then somebody else says, hey, I got that too. I have pain in my shoulder when it gets really cold out. I think I have arthritis. Oh, I thought my shoulder was going to fall off. I thought my shoulder was giving way. I thought my bones were about to disintegrate in my shoulder. Well, maybe, but I don't think so. That's arthritis. A lot of people get it when it gets really cold outside. I get it all the time. Oh, well, now I don't feel so bad. It's like when you lose a loved one, and we all do, and we all will. You feel like it's the end of the world. I can't go on. This person that I've spent my life with is gone. It's awful. How am I going to cope? I can't live. And then you meet other people who recently have had a loved one pass, and you say, well, it doesn't make me feel better, but at least I'm not alone. I can share my feelings with you. You can share your feelings with me, and together we can get through this. That's what I'm talking about. When you have communities that can attach and relate, even the hard things might be a little less hard, still impactful, but at least you know you're not alone in this feeling. So that's what this book is about, and we're going to approach that subject coming up momentarily. In the meantime, how are you? Again, I've spent most of this time talking about myself and my feelings about Trump. Oop, almost threw up in my mouth. How do you feel? You know what? I don't really care either. You have your feelings, I have mine, whatever. I hope they're the same. If not, what the hell? We're all human beings. We all grow older, we all have to put up with things that we don't like, we're all oppressed, we all have to pay bills, we all have to pay taxes, we all have feet, we all get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, ugh, what the hell is that? We all do that, we're all the same. I think even supermodels get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, oh my God, ugh, supermodels do that. We're all the same. We're cut from the same mold. It doesn't matter what color our skin is or how tall we are, how short or what our background was or what our religious beliefs are. It all doesn't matter. We all go through this stuff on this planet. This planet that we're all collectively destroying without realizing it. This is how big an idiot Trump is. And I'll say this and then I'm going to stop with the Trump thing. Very, very cold in the Midwest, cold snap going on, temperatures like minus 50 degrees in the greater Minneapolis area. And Trump actually tweets, I don't know word for word, but this is basically what he said. You can check it out yourself. He tweets, he says, where's global warming when you need it? You asshole. You asshole. It's not funny. We have one planet. Not all of us can fit on the rocket ship to Mars where we haven't even inhabited the damn thing yet. We don't have any time to get off this planet successfully, all of us. And you're going to see famine and flooding and extreme weather that is going to kill millions of people. You're going to see political unrest because people are going to be starving and trying to survive. This is serious stuff, man. Your ecosystem is being destroyed. Your coral system is being destroyed. Your food system is being destroyed. and you're making jokes about it. Look, it doesn't matter what side of the political coin you stand on, how wonderful you are, how terrible you are, without a planet to exist on where life cannot sustain the human race, the planet cannot sustain the human race, I should say. That's probably the most important thing anybody will ever do. And all the other countries recognize this is a freaking problem that's happening faster than we realize. There's one orange-skinned man who says, that's not a problem, people making that up. Don, no, you're making it up. You're making it up. You're trying to control what we think and what we want to do and what we think is important. Not on this, Don. Not on this. Too consequential. All right, let's get to our guest for today.
Hi, Ron. It's Elaine here.
Hi, Elaine. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, we've got the technical stuff sorted now.
We're good. We're good. Elaine is the author. Elaine is the author of a book called "My Child's Different," which is fascinating, and I it's based on something that you went through. I understand.
Absolutely, it is the true story, Ron, of our son Sam, who is now a young adult, mm-hmm. and it tells the tricky start that he had to life. And by the age of 7, he had been expelled from 3 schools in so many years. Mm-hmm. So as a family, we had a son who could not be educated and was written off in society as a failure. So we decided to write the book to help other parents who may also have an atypical child or a learner or a neurodiverse child. Uh-huh. And it's about helping them see that there are so many techniques you can use to help your children develop into kind of what we all want, which is thriving, resilient adults. Yeah. So it's about maximizing potential, it's about unlocking strengths, and it's about ensuring our children get into adult life feeling competent yeah. and feeling confident.
There are a lot of angles to this. I assume there's a process before you say to yourself, I've got some concerns that tell me that this is not a normal situation. It's not an overnight happenstance. It's a series of things. I guess that was very agonizing.
Oh, that's such a good point you make. I agonized for years, kind of thinking Sam was different, mm-hmm. but getting all the voices coming back to me saying, oh, Elaine, you're worrying about nothing.
Yeah.
Or he's just a boy. Boys develop differently.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, yes, you know, that boys are just different from girls he'll be all right and there's nothing to worry about. But I was worried. And I encourage all parents out there who are, you know, concerned about their child's development, be curious.
Yeah.
So Ron, the warning signs were there, but people weren't listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time Sam was excluded from his 3rd school, boy, were they listening.
Yeah.
And then a kind of, oh, my goodness, we then went down the kind of diagnostic testing route.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the nonsense started, because we ended up with about 6 different labels. Six different, what I call TLAs,
yeah.
3-letter abbreviations.
Yeah, I mean,
And it was just an absolute muddle.
Yeah. It seems to me that Sam's situation was one thing, but what parents go through is a whole nother thing. As you just mentioned, as soon as you did seek help, things got even more muddled and confused. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, it's natural for a parent to blame themselves internally, mm-hmm. and that's like, that's awful.
But, I think the heartache when you've got a child who's different and the guilt you feel,
mm-hmm.
you know, have we made this worse?
Yeah.
And I have to be honest at this point. As a parent, I did things that I'm sure lots of your listeners do. I nagged. I repeated instructions. I threatened. I cajoled.
Mm-hmm.
I punished.
But that's normal. That's normal.
I bribed. I criticized.
That's normal. That's totally normal. But you second guess, but you second guess it under those circumstances. But it's so totally normal. It's amazing. It's how normal that is. So finally, at what point did you feel like you were taking a hold of the situation and Sam was actually getting some good constructive answers?
So the turning point came when we kind of got him into the right educational environment. Mm-hmm. We knew he had specific learning needs. And around about the age of 7 or 8, we finally understood that he was severely dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, I know lots of parents don't like labels, but actually it was incredibly useful for us to know what his learning difficulty was, because mm-hmm. we could then seek the right educational environment and the right support.
Yes.
But the biggest piece of the kind of puzzle was doing the positive parenting piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely changing the way we looked at him.
Yes.
And the way we spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my 3 top tips, for all parents actually, whether you've got a different difficult child or not,
mm-hmm.
my 3 top tips are being positive,
mm-hmm.
Being firm,
mm-hmm.
And you need to get some consistency if you're parenting with someone else.
Yeah.
Positive, firm, and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They are 3 really academically simple things, but very hard to put into practice.
Mm. Sam is how old now?
He's 23, Ron.
Oh,
yeah, he's a young adult.
Well, so this happened some time ago.
So this is about 15 years yeah. ago, and I tell the story, and in the book, I actually interview Sam,
uh-huh.
and I actually interview him and get his recollections and his thoughts and his beliefs and his opinions on yeah. what happened at each stage in the journey, and he is very eloquent. He is very eloquent at some points and says that uh-huh. we got it wrong. He's uh-huh. quite clear
well.
That we put him into the wrong environment, and we got it wrong, but he forgives us. And I think that's an important lesson for all parents, is that we all do the best job we can. There will be mistakes along the way.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's about learning to connect.
Yeah.
And it's about learning to communicate.
Yeah.
And it's about building up self-worth and self-esteem.
I assume that once you started writing the book, you realized that this is not a specific problem to you, that this is kind of a rampant thing in society all over the world, these conditions and these situations, they happen frequently.
Ron, I have to confess to you, I have been blown away by the reaction in the UK
mm-hmm.
to the book. People
mm-hmm.
are writing to me, just thanking me from the bottom of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
For writing such a personal story, and I am absolutely blown away by the reaction. So, unfortunately, many, many of our children are really suffering just now in an education system that really, in the UK, fails to provide adequately for their educational needs. And if we get this wrong in childhood, we store up so many problems for our young adults mm-hmm. in terms of mental health issues. So getting this piece right, whether you're in the UK or the USA, is vital.
Mm.
And it's also important that we help parents see that there is always hope, there is always optimism. And when you're dealing with a child who pushes your buttons on a regular
mm-hmm.
basis, it's really difficult to keep calm, which is where the positive parenting piece comes in. And I think positive parenting education should be available to all.
Absolutely. And it can happen on all different levels of intensity. It doesn't have to be the intensity of your particular situation, but even a lower intensity can wreak havoc on a family. And when the school system doesn't, the school system is too technical and not too understanding, then that also, I'm glad you wrote the book, and,
thank you, Ron.
Yeah. The book is available everywhere, I assume.
I think in the U.S. market, the best source will be Amazon.com
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
In the U.S. And if people want to chat to us more, they can find us at theparentpractice.com. theparentpractice.com. We're based in London, but we talk with people all over the world.
Wonderful. And the book, again, is called My Child's Different. Pick it up. It can probably help you out and make you understand, and that's where it all starts. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Elaine. It really has, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Bye for now, Ron. Bye.
Thank you, Elaine. Bye-bye. There you go. Well, I'm out of time for today. I technically was out of time before I even began. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Maybe next time we can go to the zoo. That'd be fun, huh? Can you buy me some popcorn? And something embarrassing that I can carry around the zoo and make me look like an idiot? Will you do that? We can have some ice cream, yay! With jimmies on it. What's a jimmy? I mean, sprinkles. We can have fun and eat junk food and gawk at the animals and... Oh, come on. Next time, let's do that. I wish you peace.